and that would cause some discontinuity in the program. It would allow it would cause some issues with the ability to service the building contiguously. And what we find is that, and in our recommendations and talking to other congregations, to have the fellowship hall and have the sanctuary on the same level is essential in order to keep people involved on the, in the programs that go from the sanctuary after the services to potentially fellowship-type functions that would occur in that hall. This diagram shows, you see a light-colored circle that would represent the cul-de-sac there. We'd propose potentially some parking in front of that that would allow for a drop-off for the sanctuary, and also parking in front of the fellowship hall and the connection there. This is a view from the southeast, looking sort of down California towards the cul-de-sac in the front of the church, and you see the building expansion potentially could open up a little bit, and it shows the parking in front of the building. And the last view is from the northeast, looking across that fellowship hall, potential expansion towards the church, the cul-de-sac you can see in the distance, and the pedestrian right-of-way is shown in the gray that kind of steps down in a diagrammatic way in the forefront of the slide. We, again, appreciate the opportunity to be here in front of you. The Bureau of PBOT has accepted, found our conditions, found the street vacation acceptable with conditions and improvements, which we agree to. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has also found the street vacation acceptable with PBOT's recommendations, and we heartily encourage you to support our vacation petition here so that we can continue to maintain and serve our neighbors in the community.
Well, thank you very much. We'll take some council questions, and then how many people signed up to testify?
Four.
Okay. First council discussion, questions? Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. In the Planning Commission, Planning Sustainability Commission recommendation, there was a condition for a good neighbor agreement, and that's acceptable to you, I believe. Is that correct?
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
The Planning Commission recommendation for and PBOTS included a good neighbor agreement?
Yes, it's agreeable.
Because I think that that wasn't transferred from the recommendation to the ordinance.
Yeah, there was a number of discussions and issues that came up at Planning and Sustainability Commission that were more development related, and in the end, that's how we weighed that one. But if you would like to have it added as a condition, that would be one possibility, or as an amendment, excuse me.
I would, and part of the reason for that is that some of the letters that I've received and the evidence in the record talks about the we're moving the street further to the west, to the east, which increases the distance between the connectivity with the next street, which is 49th. So I'm wondering if you'd be willing to work with St. John Fisher in a good neighbor agreement. They currently, as you say, allow pedestrian access along that private driveway and indeed across the field connecting to 49th. Would you be willing to work with St. John Fisher to see if something in the Good Neighbor Agreement could address that?
We'll work with them. I don't believe they encourage pedestrians on their driveway. It's just about a 20-foot driveway for vehicles that connects up to Vermont Avenue. I don't know that they encourage pedestrians along there, but we would certainly work with them to try to allow pedestrians to cross our property.
I think that, thank you, I appreciate that. I know that you are a very community-friendly organization, and as is St. John Fisher, so that might be a way to address the concerns that I've read about pedestrian connectivity, if we were able to discuss that in the Good Neighbor Agreement.
David, I had a question. With the prospect of an industrial-sized kitchen and expanded food service, do you have a vision for who you'd be serving in the community?
Yeah, presently we have a community table meal where we open our doors once a month to about 300 people, and we also provide food boxes. And we've run out of space, both pantry space, cooking space, space for people to eat. So it would expand that, for instance, as well as other ministries of the church.
Some of those should be on their screen in front of you, the pictures from our community table project serving the food boxes, if you have the same images we have in front of us.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. There's also our annual Grauer Back to School project, which provides students with clothing and backpacks and supplies for over 500 students.
Terrific. So we're going to now take some testimony, and then we may invite you back. Thank you, gentlemen, very
much.
Thank you.
Could you please call the first three?
We have Terry Kenny, Maripo Hensel, and Don Bach. And also Matt Schweitzer. We have four chairs, if Matt would come up.
We bring all four forward. Welcome to City Council. Some of you have been here before, but all we need is your name. We don't need your address. You'll each have 3 minutes to address this matter. And ma'am, would you like to kick us off?
My name is Terry Kenny, K-E-N-N-Y. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I was born in Portland, grew up in Mount Tabor, now live in Mountain Park. I'm a member of St. Luke, and I'm presently the president of the church council at St. Luke. I'd like to speak in favor of the street vacation request and tell you how St. Luke members and facilities serve our community. You might wonder whether a street vacation request by a church has benefit to anyone other than church members, and you might be concerned about vacating public right-of-way to a church since property used for religious purposes is exempt from property taxes, and I'd like to address both of those concerns. As you've already heard from Pastor Knapp, St. Luke's mission is to connect with and serve our neighbors. The street vacation we request will make that possible. It will make it possible for us to expand our facilities with a contiguous building that serves the community and the congregation. On the last Saturday of every month, as we already mentioned, St. Luke members serve a community table meal and provide food boxes to families who can't always stretch their food budgets to the end of the month. Last month, we served over 300 meals and distributed food boxes to over 100 families. We need to expand the kitchen and fellowship hall that we've outgrown and add refrigeration and pantry space for the food box program. Vacating the street will allow a new building to connect to the existing one and prevent families from having to cross the city street when they come to take part in the meals and pick up their food boxes. Each August, we host a Grower Back to School project, which provides a backpack full of supplies and coats, shoes, socks, and underwear for about 650 kids from low-income families. A larger facility connected to our existing building makes it possible to store the supplies that we and other churches in the area could collect and organize the distribution so that it is safe and easy for families to participate. St. Luke hosts 15 to 20 community meetings each month, more than 200 a year, including bagpipe band rehearsals, Girl Scout meetings, AA, Al-Anon, Al-Teen groups, piano recitals, the Orchid Society, and the Southwest Trails Committee, just to name a few. The additional classrooms and meeting spaces we envision will provide even more opportunity and convenience for community groups. Churches don't pay property taxes, but St. Luke supports many community services through our benevolence program. In 2011, we provided grants totaling over $100,000 and donated hundreds of volunteer hours to numerous projects that benefit the community, Greater Portland, the country, and the world. Just a few of the groups supported include Neighborhood House, Southwest Community Health Center, Transition Projects, the West Women's and Children's Shelter, Northeast Emergency Food Program, and Veterans Bridge Fund, Habitat for Humanity, and Bread for the World. And there's more, but I won't read them all. This social concerns work is a St. Luke tradition that stretches back more than 40 years. We set aside at least the first 20% of the congregation's offerings each year for this work. St. Luke's facilities are used extensively for church projects that benefit our neighbors, as well as by many community groups. Our ability to expand those facilities efficiently and safely will be made possible by the street vacation. Again, I ask for your support, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Mary Pat Hensel, and I appreciate being able to be here today and to have you hear my testimony in favor of the street vacation. I am a volunteer on the property development team and have been doing this work on this particular street vacation for nearly 10 years when we first started to talk about the need to do this. And since then, we have expanded our facilities by buying some different property, and so it now has become more of something that we can envision and see how we can move forward with. As we move forward in our expansion planning, we have really worked very diligently to try to address the different concerns given a goodwill kind of agreement and talking to different people. I have personally gone out and talked with a number of people that have signed the petition to allow us to even be here today. As part of the effort, we've met with our own neighborhood association, which is Maplewood, and continue to stay in contact with Maplewood. We've also met with Hayhurst and Multnomah. We've been to visit with Sweeney. And talked with Southwest Trails, and back in June of 2010, also talked with the Portland Pedestrian Advisory Committee so that everyone had an idea of what we were thinking and how this contiguous space was going to be so important if we were going to try to expand. Through our conversations, we've heard our neighbors' desire for pedestrian connectivity, through the site, and we've worked with the city to address this access. And we've had a number of iterations on how this would work and where you could come through and what would be the best for all parties involved. We've also gained the support of the Maplewood Neighborhood Association back in 2009 for these street vacation efforts. The pedestrian connectivity fits really well with St. Luke's idea of how we should be able to be friendly in the community and be able to allow people like they have for years to be able to come through and say hello to us and we to them, whether they're strolling with carriages for children or walking across the area. We have an environmental committee right now that is doing a lot of recycling. And one of the things we look at is how we can, with expansion, even be able to do more of that right in the community as well to help different schools and different organizations be able to recycle better. We have a track record for working with the city with prior projects. When we did our parking lot, we made sure that we had swales in a certain way for stormwater to be able to be friendly to the environment and also to plant native species in areas where we have a watershed. We've worked closely with the city staff, and I really want to personally appreciate them in trying to put this together so that everybody knew what the nuances were and how we might be able to move forward. We've had on-site visits. We've had off-site visits to determine where the best connectivity comes. You've seen some photos of what the current streets look like and how the access is today. That it really, 46th in that particular section, really is an area that, you know, is just a segment that really doesn't go very far or anyway, north or south at this point. So it's our agreement with the city that the conditions that they've come up with are things that we feel like we could meet. And we understand that the doing this is going to cost us in excess of $500,000 to be able to put that kind of a area in. We believe that St. Luke and the neighborhood will benefit from our efforts. So I appreciate your support.
Thank you very much. Sir?
My name is Matthew Schweitzer. I'm a member of St. Luke, and I'm here speaking in favor of the street vacation. You heard a lot of the reasons behind why, you know, as a member of the community, why we feel this would be a good thing to allow happen. The only point that I would like to make today is that we actually have the opportunity to be here today to present this as an opportunity because of our community growth and the fact that we as a membership, as a congregation, are looking to be a strong, we are a strong member of the community and looking to make that grow further. So this allows for us to grow the programs that we're currently doing. And in order to have a viable city where people do want to walk and connect around, you have to have viable members of that community. I think we represent that. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bach?
Commissioner Fish, other commissioners, greetings. I'm Don Bach. I live in Hillsdale. I'm representing today Southwest Trails PDX, and I'm current president of the Southwest Trails PDX, an organization now independent of Southwest Neighborhoods. First of all, I want to make a little correction. The creek that's been discussed is Vermont Creek. It's a branch of Fennel Creek, but it's not Fennel Creek. Fennel Creek's a little larger, and it's a little bit further north. It runs down right adjacent to Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. The Maplewood neighborhood is totally blocked from access from Southwest 45th, mainly because of church properties. That's St. Luke and St. John Fisher, but also some other, and a Presbyterian church, and there's some other, you know, developments in there. This is a terrible state of affairs, and the large church properties are the biggest culprits, and there's been informal access through St. John Fisher's property, but they've closed that from time to time because of safety concerns, and this would be to the south of their school, St. John Fisher. The key thing, there's two key things that I'm interested in seeing. First of all, some time ago, there was a tentative agreement discussed and not necessarily agreed to, subject to all kinds of, you know, passage of council and all that, so of the council of the churches. So it was, you know, an idea concept of looking at a easement across both properties, starting at Southwest Florida at 45th, going basically west to the property of St. John Fisher, which is the road, which is the part that St. Luke has the authority to grant. And in the discussions with the neighborhood, that was one of the things that was agreed to, you know, but it never got to a motion point. The meeting was adjourned before they got there. It's also something that's very important to us. Now, the staff did not note nor consider, from my understanding, the things that were listed in the Southwest and Far Southeast master plan for streets, that there's a provision that we need connectivity across there. And so the discussion today ought to focus on making sure that's a part of this. If there's anything given here, it needs to be we get complete access across St. Luke's property to the edge of St. John Fisher. St. John Fisher, we can negotiate separately, but, you know, the area we want to go across St. John Fisher land is a very small isthmus of their property, and it basically would get us to Southwest 49th, a couple hundred feet, and there's a couple stairs involved. But it's very, it would be very easy. You know, Southwest Trails could build that in a day. And basically, you know, we could have then a very good access, and that would give us access to Southwest Texas via 49th. We've got a bridge to put across a little creek down there and another branch of Vermont Creek, and then we'd be at where we can get to Texas and into the center of the Maplewood neighborhood without walking on either Vermont or 45th. And so that, to me, is really, really important. Now, I had one comment in here, which is not applicable. I took it out. But basically, I think we ought to just say, okay, move the street to the east, make it the full width of the street, and put lighting on it and everything else. The 20-foot bike and ped thing is interesting and nice, but if we're going to have a 20-minute community, this church isn't going to necessarily own this property for the next 400 years. There may well be changes, and you know, there have been certainly around Portland in terms of church ownership, and so we need to look at that for a long term. Therefore, I think we ought to not vacate this or move the entire street over and require the entire street, because they would otherwise have to do the entire street. The entire street improvements be borne by the church, including lighting. The lighting is a very key part of this when you're dealing with kids walking to school in the dark, and they'd be going to St. John Fisher immediately to the south. And I think Amanda's suggestion that we try to negotiate an agreement with the St. John Fisher to allow pedestrian access through their driveway and across a designated area. You can't just have it willy-nilly, but a designated area to get access there would be also well done. And then we can work towards some other things across their property to the south, again, improving access. But this is really important. And,
Don, I've let you go over a minute, so
sorry,
if you could just wrap up.
Thank you.
We have your written testimony.
Yes, you do. Thank you.
So thank you all very much. Could we have staff come back for a second?
So I was also wondering, we received a letter from the Portland Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Is somebody going to represent their views?
I certainly can if you don't.
Well, no. I was looking at April Bertelson, actually.
Having spoken with my senior staff, there was a couple points of clarification I wanted to discuss a little bit. The Good Neighbor Agreement conversation at the Planning Sustainability Commission, the focus there was really not just on the abutting property owners, but more so the different neighborhood associations in this area and the Southwest Coalition. And so that's what I think any proposed or any amendment discussing the Good Neighbor Agreement will focus on is the other neighborhood associations. And based on conversations I've had with senior staff and with the city attorney's office, it's my understanding that the negotiations and discussion with St. John Fisher School and that property would have to be separate, that we could not put that as a condition in this language and the ordinance because they're not a petitioner and they're not a party that's receiving property back in this vacation case. And then another reminder, just real quick, is that we'll need a motion to amend the ordinance to include the Good Neighbor Agreement. If that's the decision. All right, thank you.
So Commissioner Saltzman has a question about the letter.
Do you want to represent the?
Don, you've actually had.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You've had your 3 minutes, so we're now going to have staff.
Just to clarify, Don Bach is also a member of the Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and no one else was able to attend the hearing from the PAC last night. So in my eyes, it would be appropriate if he was to have additional testimony signed up as a PAC member separate from Southwest Trails. But I'm also happy to convey and clarify what I heard from the PAC. And
well, I appreciate the wise counsel to the acting chair. But could you tell us first what the action was taken and the reasons therefor?
Yes. So the Pedestrian Advisory Committee has opposed and continues to oppose the vacation approval of the street vacations of both 46th and Florida. And that is really rested on a concern for the public good of right-of-ways, rights of way, both either today or into the future of what they could be, and have a high bar of when right-of-way should be vacated. And given the lack of connectivity in this area, I think it is very important to maintain and have some pedestrian connections that remain right-of-way. So fundamentally opposing. They did support the connection from the Southwest and Far East Portland Master Street Plan, connection that Don referenced, and that is on the attachment to the pedestrian letter in the back page there. This was adopted into our transportation system plan, identifying a pedestrian bike connection from somewhere along 49th with some flexibility because allowing site development flexibility with that, but connecting to Southwest Florida with the arrow there. So trying to translate what those squigglies and arrows are. But the fundamental is that there'd be a pedestrian bike connection, could just be pedestrian, across the property. They would support that connecting to either Southwest Florida or Southwest California and wanted to convey that. They support that connection, even though they do overall oppose the vacation.
Can I, before we get to the merits, can I just ask a procedural question? The ordinance we have before us states in Section 1, Paragraph 5, that no objections were made or filed hereto. So I'm a little confused. We have a letter from the Pedestrian Advisory Committee dated February 21st, 2012. The letter states that this matter came before the committee in 2010. But one of the things we have to make sure we police is that people have an opportunity to be heard during the decision-making process. And this has come to us after it's been vetted by planning and sustainability, PBOT's looked at it. So did the Pedestrian Advisory Committee weigh in at a prior level of decision-making and state their objections?
They did. They wrote a letter to the Planning and Sustainability Commission and testified in opposition to the vacation at that time.
Okay, so they were heard before that body, and that their objection has also been received by PBOT, who has considered it. So there is, in fact, there an objection, right? I mean, does this constitute an objection, or is this just an opposition, or is there am I triggering off of language here?
No, you're not tripping up. There was an omission here by transportation's part. We should have noted more clearly in the documents that the PAC did have some objections to the case.
Okay.
And for that, I apologize.
So, Mr. Bach, you're a member of the PAC, and as a courtesy to a member of the committee, I'll recognize you for 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. Basically, the letter you have for you, I think it's important to note that we wouldn't have this discussion right now if the Bureau of Development Services had done their work back in 86 when they remodeled this church. They should have required the street to be improved at that time. Prior to that, it wasn't in the city limits. It was annexed sometime in the 40s or 50s. But if they'd done their homework, we would have had a street there already. And basically, we've had a series of these kinds of, oh, we'll let it go kind of thing, and then we end up with this kind of thing where we're trying now to vacate it because it's a lot more convenient for the church to do that. So that's the essence of the discussion here that the Pedestrian Advisory Committee has made. There's a number of policy issues that are noted in the paper, and in particularly the connection east-west across the property. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
So I have a couple of amendments, President Fish. The first is the one that you just raised to, in Section 1, Section 5 of the ordinance, to delete the words, "finds no objections were made or filed hereto."
Let's take all the amendments, and then I'll offer them. So that's your first?
Yes. Do you need a second on it?
No, if you could just state the amendments, okay. And then we'll come back. And do
the second one is to incorporate a modified condition, which was on page 6 of the Planning and Sustainability's report to us. They had a condition number 5, and with modifications, I suggest that I move that we add a condition that says, create a good neighbor agreement to include the surrounding neighborhood associations that will include terms and intentions focusing on issues related to implementation of bike, pedestrian improvements, and access. And I would as my legislative intent on that, encourage the St. Luke's Church to work with Bureau of Transportation and the Pedestrian Advisory Committee and St. John Fisher to implement the transportation planning map of an east-west connection. So my thought would be that I understand that we can't condition this approval based on an approval from St. John. That's not part of the application. However, I would like St. Luke's to be on record as being willing to consider a pedestrian bike easement along the south border of their property that would then allow for that connection that the Pedestrian Advisory Committee is interested in, the east-west connection with Southwest 49th.
Those are your two amendments?
Yes.
Let's take them up separately. Commissioner Fritz has moved the amendment to Section 1, Paragraph 5 of the ordinance. Is there a second?
Second.
Could you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams is out. And Fish.
Aye. Okay. The amendment passes. Now, I'd like to take up the second amendment. First have it placed before the council because I'd like to ask staff a question. So would you restate your second amendment, Commissioner Fritz?
I move that we add a condition modified from the Planning and Sustainability Report, page 6, number 5, create a good neighbor agreement to include the surrounding neighborhood associations that will include terms and conditions and intentions focused on issues related to implementation of bike pedestrian improvements and access.
Is there a second?
I'll second for purposes of discussion right now.
Thank you. And if I might speak to my motion.
Please.
Thank
Commissioner
you.
Fritz.
The comprehensive plan, section 6.30, states the following. This is what we're supposed to consider when on whether to allow street vacations. Allow street vacations only when there is no existing or future need for the right-of-way. The established city street pattern will not be significantly interrupted, and the functional purpose of nearby streets will be maintained. Evaluate opportunities and the need for a bikeway, walkway, or other transportation use when considering vacation of a street. Where pedestrian and bicycle facilities are needed, the first preference is to retain public right-of-way for these uses. If retaining right-of-way is not feasible, a public easement can be required along with public improvements where they will preserve or enhance circulation needs. So this is what we have to make our decision on. And although I certainly understand the testimony that we heard regarding why the proposed expansion of the church would be better done to the east rather than to the west, that's not the criterion that I have to make my decision on. So in order to make that it reasonable that the application as submitted should be approved, I think there needs to be an additional condition requiring the church to at least look at that east-west connection on a pedestrian bike connection on the south side, hopefully to connect to either 49th or the unimproved street on 47th, or the driveway that was shown on the maps, so that would actually enhance the pedestrian bike circulation in the area rather to make up for giving up the right-of-way in this particular location.
So if I could ask staff on this issue, I'm not familiar in past street vacation proceedings where we have conditioned approval on a good neighbor agreement. Maybe there have been, but could you comment on that?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any in my review of past cases where we've done that.
Commissioner Fritz, as I listen to your good neighbor agreement, and I understand we normally come up in the context of requiring an applicant to maintain good communication and relations with neighbors and affected parties. But the way you stated your amendment, it appears that there's a substantive content and a requirement that the applicant take some action in this with a particular outcome as a target goal, which strikes me as being less a good neighbor agreement and more of potentially a new condition for approval. Could you address that?
Good neighbor agreements are aspirational, and that's why I believe it's in their best interest to put that condition on to at least continue talking about it. We can't condition our approval based on requiring something to happen on another property owner's property. However, as currently configured, I don't believe that the street vacation meets the comprehensive plan's requirements, that there isn't a need for additional public right-of-way on this property.
And this is the condition, the Planning and Sustainability Commission. You're using
correct.
The exact number five.
I modified it slightly so that we could add the legislative intent that would like this ongoing discussion to happen. Obviously, we can't require that as a condition, but we can require a good neighbor agreement, which we heard from the applicants they're willing to do.
Commissioner Leonard, would you care to weigh in on this?
I guess I'm just unclear. What would the good neighbor agreement say, actually?
It would require the applicant to work with the neighborhood to look at the to look at all of the issues related to the property, which is not unusual when we have a large institutional use. It's doing obviously doing a lot of good, and in fact is beloved by the neighborhood. So I don't anticipate that there's going to be any contention as far as that good neighbor agreement, but it might include what was stated today, that there's it's a welcoming community and that neighbors are welcome to use parts of the property when the church is not using it or something like that. I don't know exactly what it
would be. The party to the good neighbor agreement be beyond the church?
According to the Planning and Sustainability, it's the neighborhood associations. So it's Maplewood and Multnomah. It's entirely within Maplewood, so it would be Maplewood, and I don't know what they intended in their recommendation because it said neighborhood associations with a plural.
So I guess,
Don, if you could take a seat,
I'd like to have somebody from St. Luke's tell us what they think of this proposed amendment.
I have two comments. One, having been
at the... State your name again.
My name is Mary Pat Hensel. Being at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, when the whole concept of a good neighbor agreement came up, it came up in the context of, gee, when you're looking at 45th, will you allow the neighbors to go through until you develop an alternate path through the property? And that was what the good neighbor, and we said, and actually it has been put in a number of documents, until we have another north-south connection, you are more than willing to use the property to come through as always has been done. And that's where I think the whole good neighbor concept came up. The other thing that I would be wary of is to go ahead and move forward saying that the pedestrian access will be in a certain part of the property, because as we go forward, we may not know where to have that. So we would just want to make sure that it could be, if we did have to do something like that, that we had some flexibility on how that would work.
Thank you. And my motion doesn't say where it's supposed to be. It's just saying to talk about it. And I agree that the Planning Commission recommended having this condition, because otherwise we're vacating the street and there's no public easement until you create the next street. So I agree that at the very least we need to add back the language as the Planning and Sustainability Commission framed it to make sure that that happens.
Right. And so I guess what I'm saying is I feel like we have done a lot of work already with that whole part about keeping the connectivity, and so that whole clause of having a goodwill agreement, that we've sort of accomplished that already, rather than now having to go back and do more in that area.
But you didn't object to that at the Planning Commission. That was a condition that they requested, that they put on
as
a condition of their approval.
But the intent of it had to do with north-south access,
right.
Not necessarily.
And so you'd be willing to have it as they said.
As they said?
Yeah.
Well, I think we already have, I guess, is my point. I don't think it...
It may be redundant, but it's the question that my colleague's posing is, does it you've testified that you've already made a commitment on this issue.
Correct.
And Commissioner Fritz is raising the question of whether that can be memorialized in a good neighbor agreement. Now, the council hasn't voted on that yet. But
okay.
I guess I'm looking to the staff. Do you have some suggested language that can bridge this gap?
Yeah, I mean, a couple different things here. The easement language has been beefed up considerably since we were before the Planning and Sustainability Commission. At that point, we were talking about a pedestrian, probably like a 16-foot wide pedestrian connection going north-south.
I appreciate the explanation. I'm just wondering, can you actually craft language that will accomplish the goal that will satisfy all the parties?
My concern here is that we have conditions that are enforceable. And I, as the case manager on this project, I need to make sure that every condition has been met prior to recording this vacation and it, changing the property
records. So if we don't have it in the ordinance, do you have a suggestion outside of the ordinance that could memorialize the commitment?
I think the place to put it would be, I should confer with senior staff on this, but my understanding is the place to put it would be in the ordinance, but it has to be an enforceable condition. Do I get the okay to record the vacation if there's a conversation? Does there have to be a formal agreement? what exactly is the end result of the good neighbor agreement process.
But can you envision what that would mean for you? What would make that easiest for you in terms of language that we would put in the ordinance?
I'm not specifying what should be in the good neighbor agreement. I'm just saying that there should be one as recommended. So and that was just a yes, no.
He's just saying I can't sign off on the vacation until whatever that condition is satisfied.
Right.
And so do you know, can you conceive of what that might be that would allow you then to say, okay, check?
I mean, it seems only fair to me for them to initiate a good neighbor process and to have a conversation and to meet and to discuss the issues they have. But, you know, if it comes down to having a specific plan, then that's something that could go on for a very long time and possibly derail the entire vacation if that was the requirement.
And that's a good point, because we did the same thing. That issue came up with the Recology amendment application. Mm-hmm. So we crafted language in that condition of approval to say you have to meet, and there wasn't a requirement that they come to an agreement. So we could certainly look at mirroring that language.
Okay.
This is a ordinance. So does this go to a second reading?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I, in light of what Commissioner Leonard has just identified, I think we'd be reluctant to do this on the fly. We could, may offer a couple of suggestions to my colleagues. We can vote up or down the amendment. We could pause and give the parties a few moments to see if they can craft language and take the next item on the agenda and come back, or we could take some other approach.
I like that idea.
Well, if my colleagues do not object, what I would suggest is we simply come back to item number 178 in about 15 minutes and give the parties a chance to see if there is a aspirational condition, which it tracks what Commissioner Fritz has referenced in the planning sustainability finding, that does not prevent you from filing, so that the condition would be met by initiating but not completing any process. My preference would be it not be prescriptive, it just be general in term. If you can come up with some language, we would entertain that. And in any event, this matter will go to a second reading.
And if I can just, before you go off and do the huddle, I guess the disconnect I'm hearing is the intent to deal with north-south access, I feel, is more than dealt with in this agreement. You have the pedestrian right away, and in the meantime, you can use Southwest 46. But I hear Commissioner Fritz and Don Bach talking about east-west connections, and that being somehow the intent of this good neighbor agreement. So
the problem with
that's I just want to leave that for you guys to work out. But that's the disconnect I'm sort of hearing.
And if I might just speak to that, thank you for highlighting that concern. Moving the right of way further to the east makes the street connectivity even worse. So that was why I was hoping that we'd be able to get somewhere in a good neighbor agreement that would address that concern and hopefully make everybody satisfied. If you wouldn't mind going back to my office, my staff can help you find the language from Recology that might be helpful. Thank you.
So we'll just put this on hold for about 15 minutes, see whether there's a language which is agreeable to both sides. If the language is not agreeable, then this matter will come back to council for further discussion, and we will take up the amendment and either vote it up or down, and this matter will then proceed to a second. Is that fair enough?
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So thank you all very
and
much.
Commissioner Fish, excuse me, we've had a request for testimony on the amendment.
By
Andrew Scott.
I've heard the name. Andrew, you know that if you come forward, you'll be subjected to withering cross-examination.
Yes.
On the new budget numbers. But
good morning. I'm Andrew Scott. I'm a resident of Southwest Portland, and I'm here testifying today as a resident of Southwest Portland and not in any official city capacity. I'm strangely more nervous testifying about this than I am when I sit before you on other issues. I just actually wanted to reiterate, and I haven't been following the street vacation very clearly, but I did come over because I live about four blocks away from where this is occurring and from these two churches. The two churches are great neighbors, and I know that Maplewood did sign off on this in 2009. But I wanted to reiterate Commissioner Fritz's point the east-west access here for neighbors is probably the most important thing. Maplewood is completely landlocked from a pedestrian standpoint on both the northeast and the southeast side. And as a parent of a 4 and a 6-year-old, often trying to walk over to Gabriel Park, which is one of the city's, you know, gems in terms of a park, we have very little ability to get over there without crossing through private property and other areas. And I recognize that that's not cannot necessarily be taken into account in full, but the idea of encouraging the parties, and I think Don Bach talked very, you know, eloquently about the trail issues and challenges over there, but encouraging them just to work, having, using this process to just express city council's desire to see that sort of east-west access to the point, to the extent that it's possible, you know, however the language actually works out, I think would be a huge signal to the neighbors who live there. There are 600 houses in Maplewood neighborhood. And as long ago vice chair of the neighborhood association, I know that this east-west access is an extremely important component. So I think just even putting it on the record and having them have those conversations, even if it's not an official criteria in terms of the approval, would send a message. I know St. Luke's is operating in good faith on this, and I think having that official word from council would be very beneficial and to the neighbors, to the entire neighborhood.
Thank you very much. So we're going to pause on Council Item 178. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. Could you please call item number 179?
179, amend intergovernmental agreement with TriMet and the Oregon Department of Transportation for stormwater retrofits at the Barber Boulevard Transit Center.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to have Amin Wahab of the Bureau of Environmental Services describe this ordinance for me. For our consideration.
Good morning, commissioners and Mr. Mayor. So this is just a really small amendment to an IGA that the city already has with TriMet and Oregon Department of Transportation, having to do with providing some additional funding for a project that the three parties have agreed upon to design and construct at the Barber Boulevard Transit Center. These are installation of 11 stormwater facilities at that site, which is a key site for us in terms of managing stormwater in the Southwest. The project went out to bid last year, and the Bureau received two bids. Actually, TriMet did receive the bids, and those two bids were extremely high above, you know, the engineer's estimates. And so we went back to the drawing board to re-advertise the project, and the three parties did so. And the second time around, TriMet received about, I believe, 8 bids. And one of them was selected, but still, you know, when we looked at the numbers, you know, some of the contingencies were not included in the cost estimates. And when we included those, that just, you know, elevated the price tag for the construction. And the bottom line is that the three parties, mostly, you know, ODOT and BES, agreed, you know, that would split the added cost, which is about $85,000 over the $600,000 that TriMet is, or ODOT is already committing to the project. So this amendment basically is a request for approval of that.
That will be split 50-50 between ODOT. Split
50-50 between ODOT and the city.
Council questions? Anyone sign up to testify?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet.
This is an emergency ordinance. Would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. Matter passes.
Thank you very much.
Would you please read council item number 180?
Assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance.
Who do we have here?
Second reading.
Oh, excuse me. Second reading. Please call the vote.
Fritz.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. Matter passes. I would propose that we take a 10-minute recess and reconvene without
one
objection.
One more for me here.
Oh, sorry.
We had a substitute on the item that was pulled. It's 169.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right.
So hopefully it was a transportation item.
We will, would someone care to make a motion to?
It's an emergency ordinance. Can we do a substitute and vote on emergency ordinance?
Okay.
I move the substitute.
Do I have a second? Please call the roll on the substitute.
Fritz.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. The amendment passes. Now we'll take up the amended ordinance.
And that would be Fritz.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. The ordinance passes. We are in recess for 10 minutes.
Thank you. Those things, like, always kind of bother me when we just get money to the cops and the feds get a lot of money. Yeah.